Throughout his career, Gorbachev frequently spoke about the important role the party played in Soviet history and Soviet life. Even when it was no longer necessary to make this claim, he continued to argue the party played a positive role. After, for example, perestroika was already underway, and after 1987, he continued to insist on the need for a strong political party that would be able, in his words, to unite all the healthy forces of the people to accomplish the historic task of renewing socialism. By early 1991, as he found the Communist Party and its members, especially its leaders, proving increasingly rigid and resistant to change, he began to shift attention away from the party toward the state and toward his own newly elected position as president, as head of state, elected by the new parliament in 1990, rather than to his role as head of the party. But the essential argument remained the same. Without strong central power, he said again and again and again, there can be no progress in Russia, in the Soviet Union. There can be no change. He insisted this is one of the laws of history, a phrase he often used. Or again, his words, such transitions have always required strong power. You'll, of course, recognize echoes of dozens of similar statements throughout Russian history, as we've seen in this course. Indeed, one of the persistent ideals in the history of the Russian state is this notion of the civilizing role of force exerted from above, as one scholar put it, writing about the 18th and 19th centuries. One sees it in the same sort of dialectics of power and progress being interconnected and interdependent as we saw in the 18th and 19th century. We see it with Gorbachev too. Now there's a second component to all of this. As often before. Not just strong power was needed in times of change, but it should be civilized power, conscious power. In other words, it's about the qualities of leaders, what makes power into effective authority. Throughout his career, and reflecting these ideals of state power as progressive leadership, Gorbachev was obsessed with the qualities of leadership, with the nature, one might say, of this vanguard, this power that's going to bring about change, lead change. Already before he came to central power, Gorbachev began criticizing the inadequacies of leadership in the Soviet Union, though at this early stage focusing on the inadequacies of local leaders. In 1975, for example, when he was party leader in Stavropol province, first secretary technically was his title, he criticized leaders that he saw around him who offered only, in his words, beautiful words, but no practical deeds, who held offices, but were completely incompetent in the area of responsibility they were given, who liked to boss people around, but not work efficiently with people to get things done, who were simply bad managers. By the early 1980s, as Gorbachev's own power grew, in 1980, in fact, he became a member of the Politburo. And one of the reasons he rose to power was indeed partly because of his own reputation as a good manager, as a competent leader. By this period, his critique of leadership became even more encompassing. For example, in a speech he made in 1983, he chastised many officials throughout the country for a variety of characteristic failings. Formalism, he called it, words not matched by action. Procrastination, he used a great Russian word here, volokita, which sometimes is translated as red tape. Inertia, sluggishness, self-satisfaction, these are his words. After he came to central power, after he became general secretary in 1985, he launched a major campaign against these evils of poor leadership. And in opposition to these evils, he launched a campaign in favor of the virtues of good authority. For example, again, his vocabulary, practical action, not just words, business-like behavior, goal orientation, effectiveness, responsibility, competence, honesty. These were the ideals he constantly talked about that Soviet leaders should have in order to make this transition happen. As you can probably notice, though, these ideas about democracy, these ideas about power that Gorbachev had, were pervaded with a rather striking moralism. The need for responsibility and self-discipline in democracy, the need for honesty and true commitment and ability in leadership. In fact, there was even a more sweeping moral vision than this in Gorbachev's ideas and the inspiration behind his actions and his talk about reform. He was, in fact, since the mid-1970s, constantly preaching a high moral code to anybody who would listen to him. While he was party leader in the Stavropol region, he frequently called on people, for example, to, his words, struggle against violations of labor discipline, acquisitiveness, theft, bribe-taking, and drunkenness, all real problems in Soviet life, afflicting even the leadership.